Marie Rosenbaud.
Andrew.
The reading of names at Ground Zero in New York City as both Harris and Trump, along with President Joe Biden and Republican Vice Presidential candidate J.D. Vance, attend the commemoration. Last night's debate, contentious at times, the two discussing everything from the economy to women's reproductive rights to foreign policy in January 6th. Will there be another debate?
The former president had been urging more debates, but after last night, he tells Fox News he's now having second thoughts.
I am not inclined to do it because I won the debate by a lot, but I think we let it settle in and let's see what happens.
The Harris campaign, which had previously indicated it wouldn't agree to another forum with Trump, now says the vice president is ready for a second face-off. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. People in Wisconsin have lower concentrations of forever chemicals in their blood than people in other states. That's according to a newly published PFAS study from the University of Wisconsin. Researchers found people who eat fish on a regular basis have higher levels than most. So do older white men who make more money. Civic Media political editor Dan Schaefer says Kamala Harris won last night's debate, not just on style, but also on substance.
There are a number of issues that people really care deeply about that Harris spoke to in a really substantive way. And I think we saw Donald Trump, you know, just constantly falling back into conspiracy laden nonsense.
Schaefer says Trump played to his base of supporters while Harris spoke more effectively to swing voters. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
Civic Media News. I'm Austin Brume, and here's what Northern Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin State Patrol's September Law of the Month is child passenger safety to help families and caregivers keep their precious cargo out of harm's way. Wisconsin State Patrol Superintendent Tim Carnahan said, quote, "Making sure children are as secure as possible on the road should always be a top priority. That means buckling up every trip, selecting the right car or booster seat for the child's size and age, and ensuring it's installed correctly," end quote. When a car seat is installed and used correctly, it can reduce the risk of death in a crash by as much as 71%, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. The Wisconsin State Patrol is hosting open house events throughout the state in September and October. Certified car seat technicians will be on site at many of these events, offering car seat safety guidance. Visit the Wisconsin State Patrol's Facebook page for dates and location. And additional resources are available for parents on the Safe Kids Wisconsin and NHTSA websites, including frequently asked questions, car seat tips, and videos. I'm Austin Brume, and this has been Civic Media News.
The Brewers start the road trip off with a win. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Milwaukee did just enough to get a 3-2 win over the San Francisco Giants on Tuesday. Manager Pat Murphy said the offense had its struggles after getting two early runs in a game dominated by pitching.
Tough night to hit, but still it was a pitcher-dominated game. We made a couple mistakes on the bases that cost us runs, maybe.
Game two in the series is tonight. It's the second game of a six-game swing out west. Without quarterback Jordan Love available this week due to a sprained MCL, the Packers will go with Malik Willis, who they traded for this preseason. Willis played at the very end of the game with Philadelphia last week. It'll be the Packers and the Colts this Sunday as each team tries for its first win. And on Saturday, one of college football's top programs comes to Madison. Wisconsin will play host to Alabama. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. This week, Civic Media stations have a full slate of high school football. Download the free Civic Media app and don't miss a snap this season. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is the Titletown Report, presented by the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, executing its game plan to not only support soybean farmers, but all of Wisconsin. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
The Packers return to work today, starting their preparations for Sunday's home opener against the Colts at Lambeau Field. I'm Bill Scott. After the Packers lost to the Eagles, Coach Matt LaFleur said they made too many mistakes, both players and coaches. What was he referring to?
I mean, it was evident on the first drive when we get called with 12 on the field and we try to hurry up and catch them with 12 on the field. We can't sub in that situation. And we try to do a good job of holding our subs. But certainly, you know, we got to see the huddle. I think there was some communication on the headsets. And I mean, everything's important that we do, in my opinion. You never know. The margin of error in our league is so small.
I'll have more after this.
Thanks to Soy Checkoff Investments, the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board is huddling up and going deep with innovative products that help to protect Wisconsinites' blindside. Products like PFAS-free soy foam help to keep the brave men and women who fight fire safe while also protecting the communities they serve. Soy-based tires are like cleats for the road, keeping drivers on the road while removing harmful petroleum from the tires. The Checkoff's vision puts Wisconsin farmers in position to play the long game and grow markets and build demand for soybeans right here on our home turf. From every corner of the field, the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board knows how to execute a game plan to fuel Wisconsin's economy, communities, environment, and farms. To learn more about the innovative products coming from Soybean Farmers Investments, visit wisoybean.org. That's wisoybean.org.
Malik Willis will start for the Packers on Sunday, and he'll get the majority of practice reps as the starter this week. It's something that doesn't happen when he's in a backup role. And Matt LaFleur said they'll also put together a game plan that is suited to Willis's strengths.
It's our job to try to come up with whatever we come up with in order to put him in a position to be successful. And whether that's moving launch points or straight drop back, whatever it may be, we always carry play actions every week. So we'll come up with whatever we feel like is going to give us the best possible opportunity to move the football.
I'm Bill Scott. That's the latest from Titletown. I'll have more tomorrow on the Wisconsin Radio Network. Northwoods
weather. It is going to be sunny and warm and not really all that humid here for much of the upcoming week. Today, partly cloudy with a high in the low 80s. The wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 56.
All right, good check of the weather there from the 98Q Country Civic Media weather team. We got a beautiful weekend coming. I've just been chatting here in studio with Kelly and Maxine of the Butternut Area Historical Society. We are of the opinion, we are kind of frightened into thinking that we are having good weather in anticipation of bad weather coming, perhaps a harsh winter. How are you two today?
Oh, great.
Just wonderful.
We've been chatting about the whole world as it works and all kinds of different deep philosophical cuts in the 98Q Country Studio, talking about Kelly's art, of course, too, the owner of Fanatical Fish Gallery and Studio. We'll be chatting about you on Friday morning with the gift certificates on the shopping show, as we do every week. But today we're here to talk about free brats, basically, right? This is an event that is an excuse for free brats, as I understand it. No, it's the Village Fest, Saturday, September the 14th from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Village of Butternut Pavilion. That's on Michigan Street in Butternut. Live music, beer and wine for sale, but free brats. I mean, that's there's a crowning jewel we've got to focus on. I kneel at the feet of free brats, I will admit. Not quite that extreme. Free food, but free brats besides. So, Village Fest, how long has this been going on?
It's been one of those events that has morphed.
Okay.
Because we started off using... We had done a chicken dinner for a while as a fundraiser, and then we did a German dinner as a fundraiser, and as we just kept progressing and trying to simplify, we came up with Village Fest. And part of the deal with Village Fest is that it's really a community potluck. So we ask people to bring a dish to pass if they can. It's not like we're going to kick you out if you don't show up with dish pass, but it's part of sharing food as a way of sharing history. And now I'm gonna riff to Maxine because she has a great story about funeral potlucks. Go, Maxine.
Funeral.
Do it.
I know. All right.
First of all, though, let's remember that this is sponsored by the Butternut Area Historical Museum. We sponsor this every year.
All right.
As Kelly has said, it has been other things, but right now it's the Village Fest. Who knows what it'll be in a couple of years. But anyway, the reason we're doing this is because Butternut is known for its good food.
Yes, certainly.
Because there are just a lot of people there that have lived there a long time and have cooked a lot. But anyway, this all came about because I was shopping at one of the businesses in Park Falls here. I'll name it. It's True Value. And there was my favorite fellow there that would help me with everything because he knew where everything was. And so he did. And we were walking up to get me checked out, and there was a group of people talking about where were there some good places to eat in the area. And this fellow listened for a bit, and he says, well, I'll tell you where there's a good place to eat. Best place to eat around here is at a funeral in Butternut.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's something I've identified. If you give people, I mean, we weren't on an island. The Butternut and the Price County hasn't always been super isolated, but it always necessarily wasn't a metropolitan hub. And if you keep a place not very busy and you give people a lot of time, you give people a little bit of energy, and they'll give you some really good cooking, among other things, yes. creative projects. Yes. It's amazing what people do with a lot of time and some interest in cooking in the Northwoods as well. I'll tell you what, you give me one of those, here's eight ladies in a given community, yes. if they make a cookbook,
yes.
I want it.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I
absolutely.
Want every copy
yes.
of it.
Exactly. And that's, we talked about how this is meant to be like what we call vintage dishes. So like whatever All right. your grandma made back in the day, and you just love it, and you don't drag it out every day because you don't eat that every day. But once in a while, it's nice to dust off that cookbook and remember what grandma made for you and just share that whole nostalgia and that fellowship that comes with sharing old fashioned food. So we had toyed, you asked about why it's Village Fest. We had toyed with what to call it, and we decided that Funeral Potluck was not a good name. And so Village Fest sort of morphed into it. But it's the idea, so it's appropriate as a historical society to do this because it's, you know, history is very cultural, obviously.
Certainly.
And food is very cultural, obviously. And so sharing, you know, old-fashioned food is part of our mission. It's part of our mission to remind people of the past of Butternut and, you know, what life was like here, even if you don't make this food anymore. So there.
It's and food is unique in that you mentioned even if you don't make this food anymore, the thing is a lot of people still are eating these dishes
yes.
that were handed down from several generations back, in many cases largely unchanged.
Right.
Right. And this is a large German community in Butternut. In it that had been there since the beginning of the community. And so when we have the brats, we also have the sauerkraut.
Yes.
And the German potato salad to go with it.
I'm thinking of those big, huge stone crocks that used to be covered by nothing but a fabric
yes.
cloth and a layer of something you don't want to know
rock.
About.
Yes.
yes. But underneath is
yeah.
the best sauerkraut.
Yes,
oh my gosh.
Lovely.
And we are going to have homemade sauerkraut at the one of our yeah. members of our board of director's husband makes a lot of sauerkraut.
Well, you know what you're also going to have there now is a radio guy eating up all your sauerkraut.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, great.
That
yeah,
is,
good,
oh,
good,
man,
good,
those
good.
Those
yes.
crocs, the, yes, the, yes. the croc memories. But you yeah. said that it's not, it may not be the funeral potluck event, but there's only one word missing. I see that it is, in fact, a potluck contest.
Well,
happening.
Actually, I should not have said contest because we talked about that afterwards. We did, when we celebrated our 10th anniversary, we actually literally had a contest. We had it separated
okay.
by... that's a lot of work. So really what we're trying to make everything simple. So what it really is, this is a potluck drawing. So anybody who brings a dish, when you come in, you sign up for a drawing. We have fabulous prizes. At the end, we'll do a drawing. You'll win a fabulous prize. You have a chance to win a fabulous prize. So that's how we kind of incentivize people. So it's not really a contest.
Okay.
A contest would have been fun, but when we did it
yeah,
for our 10th, it's like, oh my
work.
Goodness, you got to have a lot of logistics. And you have to have voting. Oh,
it sounds simple on the face of it.
Exactly. It's like not a contest.
Certainly
so
not.
It's just a drawing. So, you know, if you bring a dish, you're eligible for fabulous prizes. Fabulous well, prizes.
We're in a small town, so there may not be judges, but there may
yeah.
be a little bit of judging.
Well,
some friendly elbows
exactly.
about what
exactly.
you made.
Exactly. Yeah.
Especially if you accidentally duplicate a recipe.
Yes,
then,
yes.
Then
yes.
you're head to head whether you
Ooh,
like it or not.
It could get rough. There could be a rumble.
Well, luckily, the brats will be provided, so people won't have to fight over
right,
the blend of sausage
right.
provided. But you also mentioned there will be some hot dogs.
Yeah, right.
Case. Who do we know what the live music act or
actor? Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is George Faltinowski, and a lot of you know him. He is the jack of all trades and the master of pretty much everything. And he's a wonderful singer. I actually sing in a choir with him, and he's a very good singer. And he does polka music, and he'll be backed up by Johnny Lynch on drums. So that'll be fun. So, and Johnny's an excellent, we thank Johnny for, he's been coming to this
Sorry
since.
About that.
We have Toby in the studio, and that's Toby barking. And Toby's lovely. We love Toby. We are all in love with Toby. So anyway, backed up by Johnny Lynch, who's been doing this for us since Johnny was like in sixth grade. So and
wow.
now Johnny's, I think, probably
He's
your
a
age.
Marvelous
He's
drummer.
A wonderful drummer. So that's our live music. So you can dance, you can polka. How much fun can that be?
Oh, and you told us yeah. on the... That we have beer and wine and
yeah,
so forth.
For sale, yeah.
And let's
If
see.
That helps you dance.
Is
if
there?
That helps you. If,
oh, yeah.
if buying
oh,
beer.
We're also having a 50-50 raffle.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah,
so we'll have raffles
it.
On site.
Right,
any other exactly. any other drawings or anything like that we should know about? Looks like there's some hidden surprises here that you might not expect.
Actually, we did have a man, his name is Brian Frankowitz, donate like a series of benches. I actually haven't checked them out yet.
A table and
okay,
two
table,
benches.
Sorry. Okay.
And Brian is one of these people. He is so talented. And all of a sudden he whips together these benches and this table. It's kind of patio material or furniture. And he made it out of pallet boards.
Okay.
And
so check that out.
Some awesome homemade furniture will be on site. Some surprises, perhaps. Yes. We haven't revealed the whole hand.
Yes.
So there will be free brats, live music, beer and wine, potluck. Please feel free to contribute those historical, classic, especially butternut relevant recipes. Right. If you've got that old family cookbook, dust it off. Find great grandma's thing that you loved growing up and share it with the community. Yes. Yes. September the 14th.
And we should do some shout outs, thank yous for people who have donated. So I'm going to tag. Maxine,
Every year since we've been doing this, Super One, and then when Quick Trip came, they joined in with donating Super One with the brats and Quick Trip with all the buns, and we'd just like to thank them very much. That's Dan Wagner at Super One and Heather Wagner at Quick Trip. Wagner and Wigner.
Don't get those confused.
Not the same.
Very
not
different.
The same, but two critical area businesses contributing.
Yes.
Any other thank yous we'd like to shout out for the event?
I think that's it.
There will be plenty of gratitude to go around,
And actually, that's part of the reason why we do this event and we don't really charge for it. It's not a fundraiser anymore. It used to be. It's more like a community appreciation thing. It's to say thank you to the community because we are partially funded by the three municipalities and we thank them. So the taxpayers help out. So thank you all. Have some free brats. Have a polka dance.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm not from Butternut, but being a Pike Lake boy as I am, so I won't pretend to speak for that community, but I have a hunch you two haven't heard enough. Thank you two for doing this, putting this event on, making it possible. Thanks. Even before it happens, I can already see that this is going to be an excellent piece of the community, whether it stays in this Village Fest form or whether it's slightly different next
year. Keeps morphing, I don't know.
Keep your eyes on the Butternut Area Historical Society. Whatever they churn out on a given year, be there. That's the message. And this year, it's September the 14th, which is this Friday or Saturday?
Saturday.
4 to 8, Village of Butternut Pavilion on Michigan Street.
Yes. And like us on Facebook, please. We do have a Facebook page. Right.
The weather's going to be great this year. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. There's word of some showers that evening, but I think 4 to 8 p.m. should be, I think, really a good span.
We have a roof. Yeah,
yes, so we're under the pavilion. Exactly. Keep your fingers crossed for forgiving weather outside of that pavilion, but the party won't stop for a couple raindrops.
We're rocking on, man. We're rocking on.
Awesome. Kelly and Maxine here from the Butternut Area Historical Society Village Fest this Saturday, 4 to 8 at the Butternut Pavilion on Michigan Street. Thanks, you two.
Oh, thank you, Gray. It was fun.
Have a good morning.
All right, thanks.
We've got some country music here for you on 98Q Country. Tim McGraw down on the farm. And I've got the whole slate of reality radio guests waiting at the door. We'll hear from Ron from Nemuth Implement after this on 98Q Country.
Every Friday night, there's a steady cloud of dust that leads back to a field filled with pickup trucks. Got old Hank cranking way up loud. Got coolers in the back, tailgates down. There's a big fire burning, but don't be alarmed. It's just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. It's been on a tractor, ain't seen Becky all week. Somebody said they seen them headed down to the creek. Johnson's daughter's just pulled up in a Jeep. Man, he knows how to grow 'em if you know what I mean. Old Dave's getting loud, but he don't mean no harm. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. Well, you can come as you are. There ain't no dress code, just some rules that you need to know. Don't mess with the bull, he can get real mean. Don't forget to shut the gate, stay out of the beans. If it starts to rain, we'll just head to the barn. We're country boys and girls getting down on the farm. Closing time, I ain't
cover charge. Just country boys and girls getting down on the bar. Ain't no closing time, ain't no cover charge. Just country boys and girls getting down on the bar. Oh, let's get down, y'all. Stay out of that hay.
All right, Tim McGraw talking about Down on the Farm. What perfect timing to be talking about Down on the Farm, too. Greg Gunderson here doing reality radio this morning, in for the week for Joel Karnick. He's off for a few days. We were just talking to the Butternut Area Historical Society, talking about Village Fest this weekend, and we've rotated quickly because we've got a full slate of guests here this morning on 98Q Country. I've got Ron here from Nemuth Implement. He's got a couple things, some things I didn't know of, some things that really matter when it comes to winterizing your heavy equipment. How's it going this morning?
Morning, Gray. It's going pretty good.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being here. I was just chatting with Ron a little bit while Tim McGraw was giving us his dulcet tones, and go figure, I don't spend a lot of time around heavy equipment because I'm busy around microphones, but come to find out there is a major hazard kind of laying in wait with the cold weather. What have we got here? What are we talking about here, Ron?
Well, I wanted to kind of let our customers out there know that a lot of customers don't go through a lot of fuel in their equipment. And right about now, they're going to be using their equipment for food plots or some woods harvesting. But when you fuel up your tractor this time of year, you may not be going through all that fuel. So if you're putting summer number two diesel fuel in your tractors, that fuel might be in there in January and February yet. So you may want to be a little proactive and start putting some number one fuel in your equipment now.
That's the winterized fuel, correct? That stands up better to the cold temperatures we might see this year if the weather is more severe.
Correct, yep.
Was that something that was an issue that we saw last year? Or do the warmer winters, are they a bit more forgiving, or is it still number one fuel all the way?
We find this problem every year.
Okay.
December and January, customers are calling us, why is their tractor froze up and why is it not running right?
Well, it's because you didn't follow the advice of Nemuth Implement. That's
there
the thing.
Go. Yep.
That's the thing. You gotta check, and that's something that we wanted to mention too, is that if you're not sure about the ways and means, the needs, the checklist, you know, that think of it like an aircraft checklist when you're winterizing your vehicle. It maybe isn't 300 items long, but every item is just as important because you blow one line and you try to start that vehicle in the summer, you might have major issues.
Yep.
So Ron was mentioning to me, you might be a pretty solid, in fact, I know it, I'm not going to pretend, you're a great source of checking in if somebody wants to get a hold of you and ask you some questions about what they need for their particular piece of heavy equipment, whether it's a tractor, whether it's a harvesting. I mean, how big do you go? How big can we call and ask you about?
You can ask us about any size tractor.
All right.
That there is. And if you just have some simple questions, you know, well, they may seem complicated questions to our customers. If you have any questions, just give us a call, email us, reach out to us on Facebook. NemuthImp.com, we have a contact page there as well.
All right.
With any questions there.
That's one thing I've rapidly learned throughout my adulthood is that while these questions may seem complicated, Ron's the right guy to ask. Anybody who works in or next to agriculture, you are doing complex math. You're doing physics. You guys are doing yield growth and complex estimations and statistics. Like, some of the smartest people I know are those people who are stereotyped as working in the dirt all day. Yeah, they do that by being incredibly intelligent.
Yep.
So Ron is one of those guys. He can help you if you've got, especially in the winterization. We've got this week that's coming, Ron. There's some light showers over the weekend. We've got some beautiful mid-80s, mid-70s kind of stuff. It's a lie. It's coming, isn't it?
Winter is coming.
What it's going to be, I mean, last year was a little bit of a joke, but there was warning that El Nino current switch happened. I remember people were saying, all right, mild winter incoming, and it was a little milder than even those in the know, I think, were predicting. But even still, last year, like you said, those fuel additives did the job they needed to do. You still needed to be on the right fuel, even in the mild winter.
Yeah, and I did want to discuss fuel additives a little bit. There's a fuel additive out there called 911. I'm sure everybody's seen it in a red bottle.
Absolutely.
Okay, 911 is not a fuel additive.
Okay.
Okay, 911 is a emergency use only additive to unfreeze your fuel lines.
Oh, okay.
So and it this says is... right on the bottle, emergency use.
Gotcha.
It will ruin your injection system on Tier 4 engines.
Gotcha. So it's not like heat. It's not that red bottle that you tip in once a winter to keep your car from getting
correct.
Water in the gas tank.
Yep.
911 is nine. It's called that for a reason.
Yep. It is for, and lo and behold, I just put that together that today is 9/11. But
so it is. So
the,
it is.
When you use 911, you need to get that removed from your engine as soon as possible. If it sits in your fuel system, it will eat away at these new injectors and these new high pressure pumps. So you can use 911, emergency use only, get your tractor running, get the fuel in 911 removed from that tractor.
I mean, of course, a lot of people would probably be trending towards a system flush when they're using that in the first place, but I'm sure there's a couple people think I can probably get away with just leaving that in there.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, you can. It's about $5,000 to $6,000.
Right. I was going to say that's it's. You're going to call Ron either way. There's a cheaper call and there's a more expensive call. I think you might want to go with that one. That wasn't the only thing we were talking about though. You guys are busy down there at Nemuth all the time, but especially now you were talking about some brush cutters, some other heavy equipment, and some absolutely ridiculous discounts that are popping up here and there. What's happening in the heavy equipment world in that way?
Well, everything, pretty much everything across the board has 0% financing right now.
Wow.
And on certain skid steers, certain compact track loader models from Bobcat, you can get up to $25,000 off of a skid steer right now.
Now, and I know some of the guys who do some of your ad work, so I may have known this from the copy, but 84 months on some things, 0% financing?
Yes. Yep.
84 months, for the quick math, that's 7 years of 0% financing on this heavy equipment. So, yeah, if you're not calling Ron, you're not trying, I don't think. If you're in the heavy equipment world, yeah. You were talking about a skid steer loaders and track loaders. What was it that $25,000 discount? Was that a real number?
That is a real number, and we're not talking a $100,000 piece of equipment. It's a $69,000 piece of equipment with $25,000 off.
So that's almost a third of its cost just cut right off.
Cut right off.
From the get-go. I mean, in a world where a truck has 100% markup on it right now, if you're buying a pickup truck, heavy equipment is on the other side of the coin. They are, it's a buyer's market right now by
they're,
the sound of
they're
it.
They're extremely aggressive on their programs, yes.
Awesome. Well, what are the most popular brands that you guys carry in those that are, what's, is there a one big mover that stands out?
Well, the compact track loaders stand out a lot. They sell faster, so you're not quite getting $25,000 there. But your wheeled skid machines, your farm machines, yes, you can get up to $25,000 off.
Compact track loader, is that what I'm seeing people kind of almost stand on? Is that like, or is that a sit-on machine?
Well, those are what they call mini track loaders. They're
okay.
Stand-on machines. We have those as well. They actually have over 1,000 pounds of lift.
That's crazy to me.
And the compact track loaders are skid steers with the tracks.
Okay. Yeah. Understood. So the next half step up. But that just goes to show you've got the full catalog, regardless of the size of the job, regardless of the size of the equipment that you're starting with. If you've got to be looking at purchasing it, looking at maintaining it, looking at winterizing it, the funnel all lands in the same spot. Nemuth
yeah.
Implement, right?
Yeah. Any of your utility or compact size tractors or subcompact, any attachment. We have the availability for all of it. We have most everything there, and we'll beat anybody's price.
What's the phone number I can direct people to if they've got those questions? I don't want to scare anybody about those fuel additives, but if you just found out that you're using 911 incorrectly, what phone number should we have people call?
You can call 715-678-2271.
2271, and is that your personal cell or is that a shop number?
That's the shop number. anybody there can help you out.
I won't blame you there. You might have some very frantic phone calls about engines melting and similar things if we go any further than that. But no, call Nemuth Implement 715-678-2271 for basic questions, for do you haves, for should I buys. I'm sure they'd be able to share some opinions with you. They may not be able to advise you directly on every step of the process, but if you ask them to, I kind of have a hunch they will. They're really knowledgeable crews, and everybody like Ron is awesome to work with over at Nemuth.
Yep.
Where's the best place to find you physically? I see you're the Stetsonville man, correct?
Yep, we're on both sides of Highway 13 in Stetsonville, Wisconsin, about 4 miles south of Medford. And
see, I told you, Ron's a busy guy. That's one of those, not his personal cell phone number. I didn't give it out, I promise.
Yep. Yeah, so we're in Stetsonville. You can't hardly miss us with the Bobcat and Mahindra tractors down there. It's at least a quarter mile long worth of equipment down there.
Yeah, that's the if you're thinking of, is that really long? Yes, it is. It's that long stretch of power equipment looking absolutely gorgeous there on the lots on both sides of Highway 13. Ron, thank you so much for stopping and talking to us. We chatted about some fuel usage. Give Ron a call, 715-678-2271 for a little bit of should I or shouldn't I? How do I winterize? Everything to do with heavy equipment, power tools of really any kind. Stop by Nemuth Implement in Stetsonville, correct?
Yes, great.
Thank awesome. You very well, thank you so much, Ron. We will see you probably in a couple weeks. We talk to Ron every once in a while here on Reality Radio. I'm going to dive back into a little bit of country music, Tattoos on This Town, and then we'll hear from Isaiah and Holly from a non-GMO pig farm in Shanna Golden here on 98Q Country WCQM.
On that county road where we drag raced our pickups and Mustangs and weathered all the sun and rain. And to this day up on that overpass, even underneath the new paint, you can still see Allie, will you marry me? I'll take a ride looking around, and there ain't no doubt it's your mark on us. We sure left our mark on it. We let the world know we were here with everything we did. We laid a lot of memories down like tattoos on this town. There's still a rope burn on branch that hangs over the river. I still got the scar from swinging out a little too far. There ain't a corner of this hallowed ground that we ain't laughed or cried on. It's where we loved, lived and learned real wild stuff. It's everything we're made of. It sure left its mark on us. We sure left our mark on it. Let the world know we were here with everything we did. We laid a lot of memories down like tattoos on this town. Like tattoos on this town. Everywhere there we are, it hits me right in my heart. Mark on us, we sure left our mark on it. We let the world know we were here with everything we did. We laid a lot of memories down, and we'll always be hanging around like tattoos on this town, like tattoos on.
Listening to 98Q Country, your local civic media station. Greg Gunderson here for Joel Karnick. We've got about a half hour left on Reality Radio and my morning show in general before Travis Creeley saves you from me. Otherwise, I'd be here in the studio for 13 hours today because I will be back from 2 p.m. till 7 p.m. We've been talking to all kinds of area organizations, businesses, events, the Butternut Historical Society. We had Nemuth Implement in a moment ago. Now I've got a fledgling business
getting an awesome start, hitting the ground running up in the Glidden, Shanna Golden area. I've got Isaiah and Holly here from Wolf Farms. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the studio. They were anxiously sitting in the green room, hyping up the other reality radio guests. They were very clearly getting into a stressful mindset. We got to relax. I've got a dog in the studio, just wide open spaces. And speaking of wide open spaces, you guys were generous enough to let me tour your farm. Was that last week?
Yes. Yep.
And what a beautiful spot. Family owned and operated. How long have you guys been in operation up there at Wolf Farms?
We started April 25th.
Okay, so not even 6 months at this point. We're approaching the 6 month mark. I'll tell you what, to the listening audience, if you were to roll up on the property where they've got these farms going, it looks like they've been doing this with experience for years. Is this your first time in the farming game, or have you done something like this before?
I've done it in the past. I've more of the confinement area. Okay. I've worked for them. This is my first time running on pasture, though.
So you said that previously you were in a more confined type of farming setting.
Yep.
Is that why you're so big on providing a positive experience for the animals now?
Yes, yep.
And that was evident when I was there. They have all kinds of room. Isaiah walked me through the rotational grazing that they're doing and showed like slices of pie. Here's where they'd be, here's where they were. And you could just see it. It was all laid out. It all made sense.
Yep.
And you had a lot of comfortable animals ambling right up to us, intelligent as they are.
Yeah.
So you clearly enjoy working with the animals.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
The impression I've been getting is that Wolf Farms loves the animals that they want to bring to you and your table, your farm. You guys aren't just about moving meat. You guys might be talking about some livestock at some point, too.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so what's the goal? Do you want to own the Northwoods of Wisconsin and fill it with pig farms, or is this just doing it right in this small scale the way to do it?
Small scale, right around the area. Offer people pork and live animals.
I'll admit that was a trap question. I knew I had a corporate takeover from these guys.
Yeah.
And Holly, your Park Falls through and through, right? You and I
Correct.
Went to, well, we shared high school together, as happens in Park Falls. I know a lot of people will chuckle. Holly and I managed to go to high school together for 3 years without ever really, we just weren't in the same circles.
No, we weren't.
That kind of stuff happens, but then you grow up, you become an adult, you fall in love with Park Falls for entirely different reasons, and you wind up starting investing your time in these critical area businesses, and I think this is the beginning of a new one in the area. The official name will be enduringly Wolf Farms, correct?
Yep, correct.
So anytime you see the Wolf Farms name, I'll tell you what, there's some absolutely gorgeous graphics floating around on Facebook, including on your Facebook page. And yes, I'm absolutely complimenting Isaiah here. I found out anytime someone's doing their own graphics, that's tough. But check it out. Check out Wolf Farms, W-U-L-F Farms on Facebook. Check out those graphics that Isaiah's been making. He is, I might have to come to you for some graphics. I make noises into a microphone. I don't make pretty pictures.
Yeah.
So what, I'm sure it's not just going to be about how you, I mean, obviously you're going to be happier treating the animals better. That's just a fact. But I'm sure the animals show some benefits too.
Oh, yeah.
What do you see from, in this case, swine, or I'm sure it affects beef farmers too, but when you treat the animals better, what do you see as returns from that?
They're just stress-free. I mean, you don't have to, you know, push any antibiotics really hard on them.
Okay, so less maintenance to the actual
less
livestock?
Less maintenance, yep.
So stress affects their health by the sound.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Okay,
big time.
A little bit of that Shanna Golden air does wonders beyond just having room to roam.
Yep, and they get vitamins from the sun, you know, the vitamin Ds and everything like that. And then farrowing on pasture, we don't have to give them iron because they get the iron out of the dirt.
No, and something, too, that you were mentioning to me is that you end up with fewer runts out of litters because of the co-parenting that can happen when two litters can effectively be mothered by the two mothers involved, right?
Yep, so actually we got six moms out there all co-parenting on, you know, the six litters. So we have a litter of four, and then the rest are 10 to 18 per litter. And they can go off on all of six moms and nurse off of them. It doesn't matter, you know, the moms don't care what babies are nursing on them. So that helps us with fewer runts because they don't run out of milk.
Yeah, there's no baby left out if there's not enough room at the milk bar, you know, somebody doesn't get a stool. So this is perfect. You can kind of have a little bit of cushion if you bring in the extra, you know, it's like a like a communal mothering society amongst the swine, and it will benefit us too.
Yeah,
you end up with a better pork experience. You end up with a better raising experience all around. I'm sure there's a little, once you invest that upfront work of treating them right and building the facilities to do so, I'm imagining you're probably saving effort in the later end.
Oh yeah,
you don't have to. I mean, you can tell I don't know much about agriculture, but I have to imagine that confining an animal with as much bulk and strength to it as as a pig is, there's a lot that goes into it. And sure, it might just seem like, you build a strong enough metal structure. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You guys, I saw, were primarily building out of wood by hand, these beautiful trough and feeder and pen structures.
Yep.
That's what impressed me the most, I think.
Yeah, everything out there is built mainly with slab wood.
That's absolutely awesome. So that means you guys will be able to maintain it in a way you wouldn't if it were... A lot of times when you build things out of raw process, or excuse me, thoroughly processed materials, you end up having to throw the whole XYZ out when part of it goes bad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you need to knock the bottom off a trough and throw a new slab on,
it
just comes down
four
to
four screws.
Yeah, it comes down to how cold is it outside today? Have I had my coffee yet?
Yeah.
The set of questions is entirely different.
Well, I think the really cool thing about it, too, is, you know, we have four children, and every single one of them children, they've all been involved in helping us build something.
That's awesome.
Like, you know, they've been out there learning how to use the drill and putting up the slab wood, and, like, they all have helped
Love it. They love it.
You know, they help us feed. They help us do waters.
It's the same thing that I think, regardless of your opinion and how you land on that, there's so many parenting opinions out there, but all of those schools of thought generally seem to agree on, spend a lot of time with your kids, show them the world, let them decide what they love about it, and they'll eventually tell you. Whether you want it or not, they'll let you know how they feel about a given thing, but expose them to things. I remember maybe a month or two ago now, we had an event over in Prizler Park in Park Falls. It was Touch a Truck. And it's like, it's one of those things that, man, after a 9-to-5, I don't know if I want to take my kid to touch a truck. Your kid really wants to go.
Yeah.
You don't know. You might have a future garbage man, ambulance driver. You have no idea. Yep. So expose them to that. Now, is every single one of your kids going to grow up to be a pig farmer? I have no
idea. But I think it's good life lessons, though.
Exactly.
It teaches them how to do things.
Exactly. You know? And they get to decide how they feel about these things just by virtue of you presenting them. Like, here's life on a farm, here's alternatives, here's thought processes. Like, there's so many lessons that can be framed in that environment. And shoot, I couldn't even guess what they are. I'm just trying to think of things that I learned out there holding a flashlight. The main thing I learned was, hold that darn light where I'm working it. Come on now. I think a lot of us learned that lesson.
Yep.
But no, I was picking up things that I can't even think of and still use in my daily life.
Yeah.
So
a lot of it's responsibility, I think.
Yes, absolutely. That's one thing. These kids of yours will see the benefits of raising animals well and offering something of quality to a community, which that's the impression that I got from Wolf Farms. Quality to the community.
Yeah.
And that's the whole idea.
And animal welfare is the number one thing for us.
And you mentioned the antibiotics you're able to hold off of, but it sounds like you're non-GMO in general. You're pretty...
Yep.
I don't want to speak the devil here, but what's the certification on organic? Is that something you want to aim for? Or
eventually, it is a pretty...
1,800 hoops to jump through, I would imagine.
We do want to get there someday, but there's no promises.
Well, the fact is, I think it's really easy to look at everything you've accomplished since April and to forget that it's only been since April, when it looks like, I'd imagine there's businesses around for 2 years who haven't necessarily accomplished what you have. And not a knock on them. You guys are just clearly extraordinarily motivated.
Yeah.
So if you'll have some red tape here and there.
Yep.
But fact is, there is no red tape between you and offering your products online already, correct?
Nope.
I was doing some poking. I thought I saw some bacon for sale.
There's bacon, pork chops, roasts, ribs.
Whole ham, not like...
Ham steaks.
Ham steaks, pork steaks, ham.
Like, I think we got one-third hams as well.
Yeah. And room for more products to come, too.
Yeah.
I certainly saw there's some potential plans to expand, but there's existing online commerce. And these are everything that's available now. This is raised at that facility that I saw, correct?
Yep.
So Shanna Golden Raised Pork is available right now. Where to go for that? Where should I go online?
Well, Facebook we are more active on. I'm trying to work on the website. Yeah, it's a little more tricky. I'm trying to get there, but... it is up if they do want to see what we have. I do have an email there. They can contact me. But I just say Facebook, message me. We do have feeder pigs available as well if somebody wants to raise their own meat. So, we have a lot available.
Excellent. Well, hey, keep an eye out for updates. I've been in contact with the folks over at Wolf Farm, so you'll probably hear me to the 98Q Country listening audience. I just absolutely love the operation over there, so don't be surprised if you just hear me mention it now and again. I mean, they let me talk on the radio for 5 hours a day, and you guys are an interesting subject.
Yeah,
young
thank
people
you.
Interested in starting a good quality business to benefit the community, and everybody wins. You'll certainly be able to keep your lights on, but boy, if you want some good bacon raised right, find Wolf Farms on Facebook. I've got Isaiah and Holly here. It's pork raised in the Shannon Golden area. Get it while it lasts, and look out for more offerings. Wolf Farms, thank you guys for so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
Awesome. We may hear from them in the future. In the meantime, I'll be bringing you some Darius Rucker. Up next on 98Q Country, we will have Sleep in Heavenly Peace, the end of reality radio this morning, WCQM, 98.3 FM, and the free Civic Media app.
Can you hear me now?
Rascal Flatts,
Toby Keith,
Martina McBride.
We play the best country music in town.
Play something country.
98Q Country.
Don't need no five-star reservations. I got spaghetti and a cheap bottle of wine. Don't need no concert in the city. I got a stereo and the best of Patsy Cline. Ain't got no caviar, no Dom Perignon. But as far as I can see, I got everything I want. The woman I love laying in my bed, and it's alright, alright. I got shoes under my feet forever and the eyes staring back at me, and it's alright, alright. Yeah, I got all I need, and it's alright . Maybe later on we'll walk down to the river, lay on a blanket and stare up at the moon. It may not be no French Riviera, but it's all the same to me as long as I'm with you. Maybe a simple life, but that's okay, yeah. If you ask me, baby, I think I've got it made. Cause I got a roof over my head, the woman I love laying in my bed, and it's alright, alright. I got shoes under my feet, forever in the eyes staring back at me, and it's alright, alright. Yeah, I got all I need, and it's alright.
All right. Right here on 98Q Country. I've just been chatting behind the scenes. We just had Wolf Farms. Check them out on Facebook, bringing locally produced pork from the Shannon Golden area. Absolutely love everything I saw at that farm. We're switching gears now, though, to Sleep in Heavenly Peace. It's an organization helping provide beds to those in need. Good morning, you two. I've got RB and Beth here. How are you two today?
Good morning. We're good.
Great. Thank you so much for stopping and giving us some time. I immediately exposed my ignorance. I know it was I thought I might know what these two were here to talk about, and I was not totally wrong, but I was wrong. I was quite wrong. But twin beds or bunk beds, and what's the basis? How did this organization come to be?
Well, it came to be. We had a group at our church that we go to here, and we were looking for some ways of maybe doing some local outreach or local benevolence, some additional ideas. And my wife and I are originally from Iowa, small town Iowa, and there was a chapter there of Sleep in Heavenly Peace, and Sleep in Heavenly Peace is a national charity, and then people set up local chapters and by zip code. So I just made the suggestion that here's this organization that I was familiar with from our hometown in Iowa, and then we decided, I just brought up the idea, and it really caught on. People thought, yeah, that's a great way to help out. And what we do is we make beds for families that have kids ages 3 through 17, and we provide the bed free of charge. It's a single bed, and the only requirement is the child doesn't have a bed of their own, and they're ages 3 through 17.
Wow, so that's quite a wide range of people that you might be helping out there, and that's certainly anybody who has that need is among those who need it most. To have that need at all, it's a huge one by
default.
Yeah,
and it's and like you mentioned, you maybe weren't familiar with it, and it's not something that people think right away that there are kids out there that have a need for that.
Well, not to knock the home state, but anytime Iowa brings something new to Wisconsin, it's something we better keep an eye on. Now, of course, Sleep in Heavenly Peace, that phrase, everybody listening is intimately familiar. If you haven't placed it, it's the final line of the refrain from Silent Night. Are you mostly active during the winter months, or are you guys year-round?
We are year-round, yeah. So anytime anybody has a need, they can they can apply. They can look for us online.
Okay. Where's the best place to do that?
It would be shpbeds.org.
All right.
And then they can look up our local chapter and apply, or they can also volunteer for the organization. So, like I mentioned, we have builds a couple times a year where we get a group of volunteers together, and we just had one yesterday up in Springstead.
Okay.
We had 26 people got together, and we built 13 beds.
Wow.
In about 3 hours. We took an hour to have a picnic lunch at the same time. So I can let Beth kind of talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, sounds like you made an event of it.
We did. We've had wonderful support from friends and neighbors. So we are just about to a year in existence as our chapter here in Park Falls. A year ago, August, four of us went out to Utah to do training for a weekend.
Okay.
And see if that's really what if we'd bit off more than we wanted to chew. But we decided it was a great organization to be associated with. And they really didn't have anybody in the North Woods.
Okay.
So there are a number of chapters throughout the United States.
I just looked this morning. Wisconsin has 19 chapters in the state of Wisconsin.
Okay, but so they're all in the southern
right,
part.
Sounds like a decently high number, but of course down there, 10 people only serves one county.
But up here, and this is obviously not a very densely populated area, so we have to spread out. So we cover... Right now, our chapter mainly covers Phillips, Park Falls, Butternut, and Fifield. And that's, we kind of wanted to start in a limited area like that, and then we may expand. But if someone is outside that area and they're listening and they want to contact us, certainly...
don't be afraid.
Yeah, don't be afraid.
We have the ability to add that zip code so that we can cover that area.
You have discretion on who you're able to cover.
Yes.
And I have this hunch that you're going to lean towards giving people a hand.
We're not going to say no.
No.
You may not be with me in the studio to the whole 98Q Country audience, but I'm sitting here with two people who will help you. I have no doubt. You can just... It's in the air in the room here. You said... Go ahead.
Well, Beth mentioned this is our, we're at our first year anniversary for starting this chapter. Year to date, we've delivered 35 beds.
Wow.
To families in need in this area.
Well, a lot of people hear low population and they think that would mean little need, but in many cases, it's exactly the opposite, right? Low population usually means underserved.
Right.
As much as maybe less need, but that need is less met, too. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Exactly.
It's interesting. I think that knowing our connections with the Iowa chapter, actually, RB's older brother's one of those that delivers beds for that chapter. And they've been going 5 years, and they still are delivering 10 beds a month. So that's in a county that is not very populated either. And when we first brought this up, we had some that are, I'll say, questioning how much need there actually is, or if that you do it and deliver it once and then you're done. But we're finding that throughout all these chapters that there's a continuing need, that because we're people that are moving and people that are, you know, young mothers that are starting out on breaking away and starting off on their own, and they come with nothing. There's people moving into the area. So we might...
People's situations change
over time. Yeah, they definitely change. And so that, that is making a big difference. And we might be at one apartment, and we might go back again the next month to the same apartment, but there's somebody else there in need. So
wow. So help me visualize the process. Is it mostly assembly work, or are you actually like milling the wood, and do you need woodworkers?
Yeah, so the way it works is... the organization has, they kind of have a formula, obviously. These beds are just a very simple design.
Okay.
They're very sturdy. So when we have a build, we have a recipe or kind of that we follow for this, where we have we buy the lumber, and we're purchasing that locally.
Okay.
Some of it we have had provided through donations also, but so we buy 2x6s, 2x4s, and 1x4s, and we cut them to this size, and then when we have a volunteer day, that everybody sands the... There's a sanding process, and we drill them and screw them together, and we make the headboards and the rails and so forth and the slats. Then when there's a delivery, then we put the bed together when we actually deliver the bed. And everything is new. We have brand new mattresses and all new bedding that we provide. It all has to be brand new. So when we go into the home, and we can make it when we do a delivery, and we're in and out of the home in probably less than a half an hour.
Right.
When we deliver, we have a brand new bed set up with mattress, pillow, all the bedding. A lot of times we have different quilters that donate quilts, so we can use those. When we're done, then the bed is all set up and ready to go, and the young kids are usually bouncing around on their new bed. So
yeah, the difference. I once heard it said, the three things you never skimp on is what separates you from the ground: shoes, tires, and a mattress. So the difference between sleeping on a couch or on a floor, you know, I mean, there's somebody out there right now who may have slept on a towel, and you don't need to do that.
Yeah,
in a lot of cases, kids are sleeping on a couch or maybe a mattress on a floor, or maybe they're sleeping with a parent, too.
Right. Yep. And shared bed situations, absolutely. Yep. Which, I mean, that's there's plenty of happy families living that way, but there's room to roam. You could stretch your legs a little bit and maybe get kicked a few less times throughout the night if you didn't have to share.
Makes for a better night's sleep for everybody, that way.
So here's the thing that we do. We do beds, and we only do beds. So, and they're very minimal, I would say, are very, there's not much to them. We're not building fine furniture.
Right, utilitarian, perhaps.
Right, they are. But they're solid. Yes. And they could be either the bunks or the twin beds. And we go in and we deliver them as quickly as we possibly can to assemble them, et cetera, and we're out again. It's not very intrusive by any means. You apply online, you get a call that says, you know, do you live upstairs, downstairs? Do we have to carry our, you know, et cetera?
Basic questionnaire.
Right. How old is a child? There's no financial anything that is even asked. There's no prerequisites for anything. If you're in our zip code, your children are ages 3 to 17, you qualify. You just need to apply.
So, of course, the naturally suspicious among us might hear, well, people are going to take... It sounds like you guys would rather help one or two people who might not need it as bad rather than miss even one person who does, in fact, need it. And that's... I agree. Lean into it. Do a little extra. Do a little too much. That's fine. If you don't do enough, that matters in a bad way. If you do a little too much, cool.
Right.
Fine.
Yep.
That's a good night's sleep
and
for you.
And we've had our... We'll say our friends and our neighbors and stuff have been very, very generous. So we have not